Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 99 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of The Sporting News, The Athletic, Bet Chicago, and many others. And I'm bringing you this episode to talk about Cubs' most recent wins. We've also got on tap a guest. We'll have Kelly Wallace on the second segment to talk about the recent All-Star announcements. We've got three Cubs All-Stars. We'll talk about any players on the team that might have been snubbed. We'll talk about, you know, the guys who are deserving of being there, and, you know, anyone else in the National League that, you know, might have been deserving or might be lesser deserving on that team. We'll also talk a little bit about Tyler Chatwood in the second segment and a few other things that are pertinent to the Cubs these days. And then I'll finish out in the final segment doing our Around the NL Central. So the Cubs finally figured out the Cincinnati Reds, but it took two come from behind victories in the last 2 days. In Friday's game, the Cubs lost 3-2. Mike Montgomery allowed 3 earned runs in 5 innings, and the Cubs offense never got it going on a day in which the wind was blowing in. On Saturday, Tyler Chatwood did Tyler Chatwood things, and as I mentioned, I'll talk a little bit more about that with Kelly Wallace when she joins me in the second segment. Chatwood served up 9 hits and 7 earned runs in 5 2/3 innings, walking 4 batters. The Cubs fell behind 7-2, but as they tend to do, they stormed back. A 4-run 8th inning put them over the top at 8-7. On Sunday, the Cubs were behind 4-3 with 2 outs in the 7th when Albert Almora kept the inning alive with a single. A hit from Jason Hayward put runners at 1st and 3rd, and Javier Baez drilled a single up the middle to tie it. But Hayward was running on the pitch and made an aggressive turn and attempted to score on the single. The throw was offline, and the Cubs took a 5-4 lead. Brandon Morrow allowed a solo homer to Adam Duvall in the 9th inning to tie it at 5, but David Bodie walked with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th, and the Cubs won 6-5. Cubs will play the San Francisco Giants on the road over the next 3 days. Tonight's game will be a 9:15 Central Time start, and it will feature Kyle Hendricks against Giants starter Andrew Suarez. The Giants lefty has a 3.92 ERA in 14 starts this season, but that's a bit misleading. In his last 7 starts, he has a 2.40 ERA over 41 and a third innings. Hendricks has just 1 quality start over his last 7, and over that period, he has a 6.29 ERA. Let's go ahead and go to that second segment where I talk to Kelly Wallace. We'll chat about All-Stars and Tyler Chatwood and the rotation and several other Cubs-related topics. Joining me now is my good friend and a Locked On Cubs contributor. It's Kelly Wallace, who also is the managing editor of the upcoming expanded roster. I almost said something different. No, expanded roster. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going good. It's going good. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, in addition to a victory today, which, you know, anytime you can beat the Reds, that's a good thing.
And a rare thing, apparently, for us this season.
Yeah, the National League All-Stars were announced. And for the Cubs, I feel like it was no real surprises. I've got all of them up here at this point, so I can just read them. But Wilson Contreras edged out Buster Posey at catcher. So he'll start. Posey's the backup. JT Realmuto is the other backup. I feel like Contreras was making it whether he edged out Posey or not. So
Do you think so?
Yeah,
I felt like he needed the fan vote a little bit. I was a little bit thinking they might not go with 3 catchers if Wilson didn't get the fan vote.
Yeah, I feel like he was going to make it because he's having a nice season. If you look at a lot of the advanced stats, he's basically the leader. I think in wins above replacement, he matches Posey with the on base. He outslugs him. Yeah, I think he was going to be there.
I'm very happy to see him there in any case. I know that a lot of people are very pro all of our guys not making it for the rest, but I think that if anyone doesn't care about that and won't be affected by it, it's probably Wilson and Javi. So,
right. Freddie Freeman starts at first base, which I feel like is appropriate. Paul Goldschmidt and Votto back him up. Baez gets the nod at second with Ozzie Albies and Scooter Gennett behind him. Those were the 3 I think pretty much everyone expected to see. Nolan Arenado at third with Eugenio Suarez. Brandon Crawford at shortstop with Trevor Story, which surprised me a little bit, but Okay. Nick Markakis, Bryce Harper, Matt Kemp in the outfield with Charlie Blackmon, Lorenzo Cain, and Christian Yelich as the reserves. No surprises among any of those except maybe Story, but I didn't look. Maybe he's the only Rockies player that's on the team.
Yeah, I think he is, because I was expecting of the Rockies, I thought Ottavino might make it in. But
Arenado. Yeah, Arenado's on there, so Story, I guess. Maybe the NL just doesn't have a whole lot of great shortstops that not thinking about.
Ray Turner? You'd think, maybe?
Yeah, Turner's in, he's on the final vote, so maybe I just haven't looked at Story's numbers in a while. Maybe he's having a much better season than I'm giving him credit for. But
he is having a good season. I would have expected to see Trey Turner over him, though, especially since he's the hometown guy.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. But yeah, the final vote is Jesus Aguilar for the Brewers, who I felt like should have been there. Brandon Belt with the Giants. Matt Carpenter, who I don't really feel like deserves it as much as the rest of the guys. Max Muncy of the Dodgers, and Trey Turner, as you mentioned. So
I think Jesus or Max both have a pretty good argument for being there. I mean, Jesus is unfortunate because he's at such a position that's pretty crowded in the NL as far as the All-Stars go. But I'd say him and Max, yeah, they both probably on performance deserve to be there.
Right. Yeah, I guess I looked up Trevor Story's numbers. 282 batting average, 347 on base, 522 slugging. OPS plus of 116. He's got 16 home runs, but he also plays, for the Colorado Rockies, so that has to be taken into consideration a little bit. For the pitchers, Patrick Corbin and the Diamondbacks, Jacob deGrom, who I think would probably be the odds on for starting the game, Mike Foltynewicz of the Braves, John Lester of the Cubs, Miles Michaelis of the Cardinals, Aaron Nola of the Phillies, Max Scherzer of the Nationals, and then relievers, Sean Doolittle, Josh Hader, Brad Hand, Kenley Jansen, and Felipe Vasquez. Any surprises or major snubs that you think are on the pitching side?
No, I mean, part of me wanted Morrow to get in there, but it's crowded in the reliever area. And even though I think on stats you could argue that he's better than some of the guys who made it in there, I don't think it would be a snub. I wouldn't call it a snub. I think my pitching snubs are in the AL, not in the NL.
Yeah, I would say, just looking at it, Morrow's been very good, but Doolittle, not taking him off there. Hader's been out otherworldly. Brad Hand is outstanding. Kenley Jansen is one of the best in the game. The only one you could really argue is Felipe Vasquez, but the Pirates have to have somebody on the team. So
yeah, I mean, I get why he's there, but, again, Ottavino is someone else I thought maybe could have made it.
Right.
And, but, yeah, it's tough. There's not a lot of guys you can pull there. And as long as there's a rule about everybody having to have a rep.
Yeah. Which we could talk about probably for an hour, but we won't get into that. I would say if I were making my Cubs snub list, and I don't feel like anybody was specifically snubbed,
but I
would say, I think Albert Almora deserved to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say that, I know this isn't popular, but among shortstops, Addison Russell is in value, at least as valuable as Trevor Story. He's been surprisingly valuable for the Cubs this season when you factor in, offense and defense. He's, mm-hmm. I think, like third among position players on the Cubs in wins above replacement, which isn't like a perfect stat, but, just kind of gives you a snapshot look at how valuable he's been. He's been right up there close to Javi Baez in overall value. So, he's a guy that I don't think is like necessarily an all-star, but if Trevor Story is one, I think you can make an argument for Russell too. So
but why would you want to? I personally am going to go in with Almora for who I thought the Cubs most robbed was. He's just having, again, it's just been a breakout season for him. I think there were a lot of questions about what his role would be this year. There were obviously starting in spring training with the question of him versus Hap for leadoff and who's going to get more playing time and how do you split the playing time, and then him coming into it with that narrative from last year about not being able to hit righties, and whether it's by virtue of just his own improvement or the fact that Joe is picking really great matchups for him, it's probably some combination of both. He's just really succeeding this year and really proving to be an all-around player in a way that I'm not sure everyone realized he was. So I would have really liked to see him be recognized and have a chance, or at least to be in the vote for the like final, you know, last chance or whatever. It would have been nice to see him recognized in that, but I would imagine that he will have many chances in the future to be an all-star.
Yeah. And yeah, I get why Matt Carpenter is on there. I don't want to come off as the Cubs podcast hating on a Cardinals player, but I get why he's there, because the Cardinals only had one all-star, I'm pretty sure. And that was Miles Michaelis.
Yeah. He's the only one.
So I get why they put him on there instead of Almora for a team that had three All-Stars. But yeah, I tweeted this out. I updated my fun stat that everyone gets angry about for one reason or another. The Cubs are 37-19 when Almora starts and 14-17 when he does not start.
You're riling up the Twitter people. They're going to yell at Joe Maddon again and at all the beat writers.
Half the people get angry because they see that, and then they get mad because they think Almora doesn't start pretty much every day, which he mostly does at this point. He plays probably, I would say, like eight or nine out of 10 games. But
right. Just because he doesn't start, I mean, he's in most games, for the record. I don't think there's a giant deficiency of Almora starts that he's not – opportunities he's not getting.
Yeah, I want to say he's played 82 games this year in total, or 83 games of their 88. So
he's freed, Twitter. Yeah. You don't have to hashtag free Almora and everything. He is free. He is absolutely a butterfly.
If we wanted to add, throw more gas on the fire, those five games that he has not played, the Cubs are 0-5.
Of course they are. That would be true.
Yeah, so... Albert Almora,
sorry, good Jesse, this and at Cubs, you're going to keep hearing about this because of Ryan and his stats.
I'm going to keep banging the drum on this just to, like, half of what I do on Twitter is just to make Cubs Twitter angry. I think most people probably
succeed a lot.
They figured that out by now, that most of the time when I'm tweeting stuff like that, I am absolutely trolling the Twitterites to try and rile people up.
It's fun. I really enjoy, actually, when I troll the smart people like you who follow me by continuing to tweet boneheaded Manny Machado takes.
And you do. You angry my blood a little bit when I see that. Please don't let everyone see this and start talking about it, because I don't want to have to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, look, it's me riling up the Manny Machado rumors again. See, that's my version of the Almora thing. Ryan is going to harp on the Almora stuff, and I'm going to keep riling up all the Manny Machado devotees. And that'll be my contribution to making everyone angry on Twitter.
Yeah, when I felt bad doing this to Evan Altman, but when Cubs Insider wrote on that story that the Cubs were out on the Manny Machado thing, he tweeted a headline that the Cubs were falling out of the Manny Machado race, which I never thought they were really in anyway. And so I tweeted that they've fallen out of the Manny Machado race, much like I am in danger of not making the Olympics in bobsledding.
Okay, you know what? I think you'd be crazy not to be in on it, though, right? I mean, okay, I'll leave it alone. I'm not going to rile everyone up with rumors. But I will say that if he wants to win rings with Albert Almora, and there's only one place that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm not, like, anti-Manny Machado. I'm anti him at shortstop.
Well, bad news.
he's a bad defender at shortstop.
He says that's non-negotiable. So
yeah. Well, I think he would probably look at money in the off season, and yeah, if
he's an elite third baseman, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's tanking his free agent value by saying he has to play a position where he provides negative value as of right now. But that's a whole other conversation for another time. Hopefully I would love it if in free agency he wanted to be lured to be a beautiful third baseman over here in Chicago, and Chris Bryant can retreat to the outfield where he honestly might be better. Anyway, longer conversation for another time.
Yeah, frankly, if the Cubs did sign Machado, and this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but not like completely, I would say I'd rather move Bryant to shortstop and put Machado at third base.
Oh my God.
Like I honestly think like maybe he wouldn't be a better shortstop, but the difference between Machado at third and Bryant at third, I don't know, like it would be at least worth like figuring out which one would be the better alignment.
I'm fine with it, honestly. I just want Manny Machado here is what you should all take from this. When they were talking about what the like the seven teams that made offers on him or whatever, and we were one of them, and like people were like, oh, what's the Cubs offer? And I was trying to piece it out in my head, and I realized like there's not many people I'm not willing to give up for him. I'm willing to give up almost anybody, I think. I wouldn't give up Alzolay, not that it matters because he's injured anyway, so it's not like he would be in the conversation.
Right. Yeah. I think it makes more sense as an offseason move, which, you know, I've been pretty clear about. But we also know that Theo Epstein isn't anti completely shaking up a roster in the middle of a season. Obviously, he did the Nomar Garcia Parra trade in 2004. That really shook up the roster with the Red Sox. So it's not like out of the question for him, but I can really see like when you read the pattern of the way he talks about this team, the way he has in the past and how young the team still is, I really think that he's just like he's all in on the roster as it's built right now on the positional side. So I think he's just going to go out there and say, maybe we need like a left-handed reliever. Maybe we need like a backup catcher.
Maybe we need a starting pitcher.
Yeah, maybe the Cubs need a starting pitcher, but I don't know. I just don't know about that.
Speaking of starting pitching, wasn't there a headline this week that said we were maybe in on a Hap from Toronto?
Yeah, I saw that today that the Cubs were
because I like him.
Yeah, he's been good in the past. He's a decent pitcher, left-handed guy. He's older. I think he's older than most people realize. I want to say he's like
he is a little bit of a baby face, is the thing. Like he doesn't really look particularly old.
He's been around a lot longer than I think.
For the record, for those who don't know, he's 35.
Just yeah.
For anybody who is not aware, he is 35 years old.
Yeah, I think most people think he's like 30. But yeah, he does have a little bit of a baby face. He's been around since 2007. When he broke in with the Phillies this year, 4.44 ERA and 18 starts, 105 innings pitched. So he's actually like going out there pitching, which is good. He is, you know, a decent strikeout rate. His walk rate is moderately low. He doesn't give up a ton of hits. It looks like he's been bit by the home run a little bit. So this is a guy that maybe the Cubs look at as being slightly undervalued right now based on somewhat of a bloated ERA versus his actual performance. And that maybe they could ride him down the stretch and get like the best of his 2018 performance out of him over like the final 2 months of the season.
Well, the other thing is that since he wouldn't be a long-term thing, that actually works really well for the Cubs because the rotation is not actually long-term looking for a new starter. We're talking about covering potentially for Yu Darvish, figuring out what Chatwood's deal is and where he goes next and if he sticks around in the rotation or not. So, I mean, you're not looking for, you know, you don't want to go all in and trade the farm for a young guy. Like, everyone always wants to tie us to, like, a Chris Archer. That doesn't make any sense.
Right, yeah. And for Hap, he has a 3.43 ERA in 512 innings in the last 3 years, so 2015, 16, 17. And so far this year, his FIP is pretty in line with what it was those 3 years. Most of his peripheral numbers are pretty in line. In fact, he's striking out more now than he was then and walking about the same. So I think it's a worthwhile deal to look into if you are committing to adding a pitcher. Now, what does that mean to the rest of the rotation, though? I mean, are we assuming that if they're making a trade for a starting pitcher that they are thinking Darvish might not be coming back this year? Or is it so they can banish Tyler Chatwood to like the 60-day DL with a hangnail? Like what? there's a lot of questions because they have six. When everyone is pitching at their value, at where they would be expecting that guys would be pitching, they have six quality starters already. It's just who's going to be healthy and who's going to be performing.
Right. And I think that, again, underscores that if you are looking at starting pitching, or if you are one of the people who thinks the Cubs need to add starting pitching, you need to really think about it as a short-term solution, as opposed to trading for one of the younger starters who might be a little more flashy, a little better, in terms of their performance than someone like Happ. But again, you know, let's say DeGrom, even, for example, that's a guy then that's under club control with you. I mean, that's not a guy you're getting for a rental. You know, that's a long-term build your team around him guy. So that's not what you're looking at. Though, if you don't want to trade, the thing that's amazing is that there are actually other options that wouldn't cost the Cubs much at all, actually, and nothing in terms of trading prospects or players. You know, I just have a great idea. I think that I think that what you have to talk about here is, who are you really looking for? What do the Cubs need? They need a number five who can keep games winnable and who can eat innings. Who's built a career off that more than John Lackey? Let me tell you about the most underappreciated pitcher who is available right now, probably for nothing. You could probably just offer him some peanuts and like beer and some Crown Royale, and he'll be here. Like
some hobos.
Exactly. Like, this guy is not going to, you're not going to have to bet. You don't have to trade any of the position guys that everybody loves. You don't have to send Schwarber to the AL to be a DH. You don't have to get rid of Ian Happ. You don't have to kill off any of the pitching prospects in Iowa because we need them, God knows, because apparently it's just going to be, you know, a merry-go-round for the rest of the season, as it always is. But who could come in and stabilize this and make sure that you're probably getting six innings at least out of him every night? John Lackey. John Lackey's that guy. Not only that, he's a leader. He is a clubhouse leader. He is a presence. He is a strong personality who could bring out the fight in guys. He's a championship guy. He has three World Series rings. That's three more rings than Clayton Kershaw. I don't know why nobody wants this guy, but I do know that he is available. I read online that he stretched out and he worked out in the offseason, so he should be in shape. I don't know. I think he should be up here tomorrow.
I can just see how red and angry you are right now.
I have to tell, like, I'm not drunk at all, but like, I am prone to drinking and giving very long speeches about baseball. And John Lackey is someone that I could give you 5 to 10 minutes on in any situation, in any state of sobriety, anything, anytime, anywhere. I can defend John Lackey for an extended period of time.
All right, so I'll give you this stat. I'm working on a piece for Bet Chicago on Tyler Chatwood that if you listen to this on Monday, it should be up today. And I do actually mention John Lackey, and unfortunately I mentioned that nobody is seriously considering calling him out of retirement. But just as a comparison, Tyler Chatwood is averaging 4.9 innings per start, so just under 5 innings per start with the Cubs this season. In 30 starts last year, John Lackey went less than 5 innings only twice.
Yeah, he's an innings eater.
And when he's not eating homeless people.
He's an eater of many things, one of them being innings.
So the point wasn't, you know, to your point of how great Lackey is, which I think is debatable at the very least. But the point was,
he's more valuable than most people give him credit for, is the maybe lower bar version of me saying he's great.
And my real argument there was, you know, what they got out of him last season, as much as people complained, it was, you know, fine for a fifth starter. He got you through the fifth or sixth inning pretty much every time. He gave up a ton of home runs, but, you know, he didn't tax the bullpen every time out. And I feel like there was a lack of appreciation for that aspect of him being the fifth starter last year. And when they signed Chatwood, everyone just kind of assumed he would be better than Lackey because he has more talent and he's younger. He has great stuff, but nobody could have predicted how bad Chatwood would have been this season. You know, even me, I was not high on the signing, but I couldn't have possibly predicted this. He's nowhere near this bad before.
Well, so, no, I mean, nobody, for the record, I thought it was a good signing. I bought the home and road splits thing. I bought that he has good stuff, maybe figures it out. But to be fair, even the negative Nancy's like you from the beginning who didn't love it, he's so much worse than even you would have predicted, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, he never walked this many people. And, you know, I wrote an article before the season. It was in the off season where I mentioned, you know, the whole thesis was that the Chatwood signing is a major gamble because this is a guy who has two Tommy John surgeries in his history, and those types of guys generally can't command their pitches. And I don't think that's a mechanical fix. And there were studies that were done on this where, you know, when you have two Tommy John surgeries, the guys who have made it back to the big leagues, they struggle to command their pitches. And that was his thing with the Rockies, is he couldn't command his pitches. And I even pulled up like all of his peripheral numbers on those road stats. And I actually have them in front of me because I used them again for this article for 2016 and 2017 combined. In 157 and a third innings, he had a 2.57 ERA, which is great. His FIP, though, 4.23. He had a strikeout percentage of 19.3, which if you have a 2.57 ERA, that's a little lower than you would think. And his walk rate was 11.9%, which the comparison I used was if you were taking these numbers and putting them up against the major league leaders in pitching for 2017, that walk percentage of 11.9 would have been second to last among qualified starters. And and then the big number, the 222 BABIP. Absolutely. Okay. Like, yeah, like it would have been the lowest BABIP among qualified starters in 2017 if you were putting it there as a comparison. So even his road numbers were kind of fluky. And I just thought, okay, so he's just going to be the guy that he's been. You know, and if that's what he is, then it's going to be okay. He'll be a fifth starter. I never thought that he would be this bad. The reason I wasn't high on the deal was because most people, you know, Cubs observers, Cubs fans were saying, oh, they're going to sign this guy and turn him into a number two starter because he has great stuff. And I was just like, slow your roll. This guy's a number five. That's what he is. And that's what he'll be. I didn't think he was going to be walking like basically one guy per inning, which is just absurd.
That's where he's at right now, right? He's walked more batters than innings pitched. I'm pretty sure I read that.
No, it's 79 innings with 70 walks.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that's a pretty interesting stat, man. I wonder how many pitchers can brag about being that close to walks and innings pitched.
Yeah. And if you look at just his last eight starts, he started 16 games. So his last eight, it's 36 innings with 41 hits and 36 walks.
Jesus Christ.
And a 7.25 ERA.
Jesus. Oh, I mean, okay, I'm trying. Here's the thing. I try so hard to be the biggest optimist about this guy. I try, like, anyone who follows my Twitter account can vouch for the fact that I am the first person to say don't boo people. I'm the first person to try to find positives. But, like, I'm really running out of rationalization for him remaining in the rotation. And I know that right now you're tied over a barrel because you, Darvish, we don't know what the situation is or when he'll be back or if he'll be back. I mean, you know, you got to wonder if Theo's seriously considering a guy like Hap, what they know maybe that we don't about the sort of long-term diagnosis on Darvish. But, I mean, at some point it just becomes inexcusable to send him out there every 5 days. You know, I was sort of wondering when Joe left him in there for 120 pitches. I was sort of wondering if we were finally going to get the sort of phantom DL stint for him. But
yeah, I was curious. And when I listened to Jim Hickey speak today, he made it sound like Chatwood has two more starts and then we'll see. And he didn't say it that way, but just the way he spoke about him, he said, you know, he's got one more start before the All-Star break. And then hopefully that time off, he'll be able to fix some things and make it right. And then we'll see, you know, how he responds in his first start out of the All-Star break. And so that to me says, if in these next two starts, it's not better, then maybe something else is on the horizon. And if you look at where the All-Star break falls, that next start after the All-Star break will be what, 4 or 5 days later.
Right.
And then 4 or 5 days later when they need another starter is basically the right at the end of July. So at that point, when you're thinking about like, okay, so Tyler Chatwood can't go out and keep burning the bullpen, you need to find someone to get you through essentially the month of August to the point where you can get to September and have all the September call-ups when you could put Tyler Chatwood in the rotation. And okay, it's terrible if he gives up 5 runs in 3 innings, but you know, if he goes out there and is walking dudes and can't get people out early in the innings, you could just bring Dwayne Underwood or Jen Hosang or whoever out of the pen and just keep rolling guys out there left and right because you have basically an unlimited bullpen.
Right. Yeah. And then also, I mean, worth noting that depending on how this plays out, I mean, in an ideal world, once you clinch, it doesn't matter if he starts.
So, ideally, but I don't know if we're going to be talking about clinching before maybe the last week or two.
I know. September. I want to believe. I just wanted to believe that it could take a little pressure off off the amount of Chatwood starts we'll have to endure that matter. But yeah, that's interesting. I guess I can see wanting to give him every opportunity to succeed because it does make it a lot harder on everyone. Even if you, like me, believe that we have a better chance of winning without him being the starter, obviously it becomes complicated and puts a lot of stress on other people and pressure to make something big happen with the trade deadline if you talk about removing him from the rotation. But all that being said, I still don't. He doesn't give you a chance to win games. I know that everyone says, oh, fifth starter, he doesn't have to be an ace. Okay, I'm not asking for him to be an ace. But a number five does have to keep it. To me, the goal of a number five is that they make it a winnable game. You're not going to not give up runs. You're not getting a great performance the way you would expect from your one or two. But the game should still be within reach. And you can't tell me most of the time that John Lackey did not keep the game in reach. And I do not think you can say that to a logical person, Chatwood kept the game within reach in his last start. And thank God the offense pulled it out and rallied. That's great. But, you know, that win is, you know, in spite of what Chatwood gave them.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap there. Kelly, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you and tease a little bit about expanded roster and when that might be coming?
Sure. You can find me most of the time on Twitter at Kelly A. Wallace. My website, Expanded Roster, is going to be launching near the end of the summer. We'll have a date for you in the next couple weeks. And if you want to find out more about Cubs pitching, you should definitely follow Expanded Roster because one of our launch features will be a great conversation with my favorite Cubs reliever, Steve Cishek. So that'll be exciting and cool for all you Cubs fans out there. Yay. Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me on this extra long version of Locked On Cubs. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me about all the important issues of the day and all the all-stars and Tyler Chatwood and why he's terrible.
Oh, and making everyone mad online.
Yes. Thank you. So briefly, let's finish out around the NL Central. The Milwaukee Brewers are 6-1 in their last 7 games, and they went 2-1 against the Atlanta Braves this weekend. They topped it off with a 10-3 win on Sunday, including another stellar game from starter Junior Guerra. St. Louis Cardinals, on the other hand, aren't in such great shape lately. They're 10-14 in their last 24 games, although they did split a 4-game series with the Giants this weekend. On Sunday, they lost 13-8 in San Francisco. The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Phillies on Sunday 4-1, while the Reds obviously lost to the Cubs. So here are the updated standings. The Brewers remain in first place at 54-36 on the season. The Cubs are 51-36, 1.5 games back. The Cardinals are 7.5 back of Milwaukee at 46-43. The Pirates are 12.5 back at 41-48, while the Reds are 15 back at 39-51. Thanks for listening, guys, and thank you again to Kelly for joining me to chat about the Cubs and the All-Stars, Tyler Chatwood, and airing of grievances. We talked a little about John Lackey. I promised her I wouldn't edit that segment out when I put this all together, so I left it intact for you to hear her whole fist-pounding tirade about John Lackey. I'll go on record and say I do not support bringing John Lackey on the team at any point. He's retired for a reason, and I think he should be left there. But that's my opinion, and she's welcome to hers. So if you guys agree or disagree, if you want to let us know who you agree with or why, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can also follow me at Ryan Q. Davis to find any of my work or just to be entertained by my trollish tweets on Twitter. Thanks again for listening, guys. This has been episode 99 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'll be back again tomorrow, hopefully with Sean Sears as my guest, as my partner going forward. And we'll be doing episode 100, the big milestone and hopefully it'll be following a late night Cubs victory. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.